God is real.
Amen.
And for those of you that know He's real, those are the individuals that hold to His unchanging hand.
Amen.
In the midst of all the trials and tribulations that we face in our everyday life. If God was not real, I don't think I'd be here. Because I've tried everything else. And it just don't work. But since I've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, the church, I know how real God is. And even when I fall short, even when I don't do what I'm commanded to do, I got a God that is so real that says if I confess my faults, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. That's why He's real to me. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and round about verse number 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus came to reconcile sinful man back to his Father.
Yes.
Jesus died on the old rugged cross that you and I don't have to taste the sting of death.
Yes.
And so this morning, I just want to give you words of encouragement and remind you that there is an attitude that the believer must have. This attitude is not centered in the believer, but it is centered in what thus saith the Lord. And I'm going to show you this morning that when you have the right attitude, nothing, no one, or anything on this time side of life can stop you. It's just like an individual going to school.
Yeah.
When an individual or when a person decides to make up his mind he's going to do something, what stops him?
Nothing.
How about sickness? No. How about poverty? No. Why? Because his mind is made up that nothing's going to stop him.
That's right.
I got a made up mind. I'm going to heaven with you or without you.
That's right.
I've made up my mind that I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability, whether anyone serves him on this time side of life. Why? Because he promised me something. Revelation chapter 2 and round about verse number 10. John, as he's in exile on the island of Patmos, write these words to those seven churches in the Asia Minor, reminding them and encouraging them, even in the midst of the trials and tribulations that they're facing. He's in exile. Why? Because they done killed off everybody else.
That's right.
And as he's in exile and as he writes to the seven churches, there are some serious problems that are going on. Some of them are pretending that they love God.
Right.
But John said, Jesus said, you left your first love. You ever left your first? That's another story. I'm going. But as he writes to these seven churches, they all have some problems. But he reminds them in the midst of all of their problems, stay rooted and grounded. Hold on to God. Because in the final analysis, it's going to be God. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 6, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also how? In me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, Jesus said, I'd have never told you. I go and prepare a place for who?
You.
Well, some of y'all don't know you got to prepare a place. You're right. Because heaven is prepared for folks that are preparing to go.
Amen.
If you ain't preparing to go, guess what? You don't have a place. Amen, Walt.
Amen.
Because see, when you are preparing to go someplace, you make sure you check the oil.
Yeah.
You make sure you got enough rubber on the wheels.
Amen.
Only y'all alone, because y'all ain't with me this morning. If you're planning to go to heaven, your works have to be something that helps you to get to heaven.
Yeah.
James says, faith without works is dead, being that it is alone. You must work out your soul salvation. How? In fear and in trembling. God is not going to do something for you until you do something. That's why this passage of scripture here is on the wall. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do, how? Of his good pleasure. And then Paul reminds the believer, if you don't do something for the Lord, stop complaining.
Amen.
I'm sorry, Lord.
Amen.
Stop complaining. When you don't show up, I complain.
Stop complaining.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't come with the right attitude, I complain.
Stop complaining.
Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Why? Because the child of God has to stay focused in what he or she is doing for the Lord.
Amen.
There's an attitude that we must develop as children of God. So for the next few minutes, I want to draw your attentions to Philippians chapter 2 and round about verse number 5. Very interesting passage of scripture, because Paul here shows the believer that there is a mindset that you must have if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. That means you got to be willing to not to deny your very existence on this time side of life. That's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. What does it profit a man? How much? How much? And you're probably saying, I don't know, I ain't never had how much. Oh yeah, I know how we think, because I've been there. What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And so Paul here in Philippians chapter 2 would write these words to the believer and remind the believer that the attitude we have to have is the attitude that has Christ's mindset. And I'm learning, in order to have that type of attitude, you got to get out of the way. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others. Let each esteem others, how? Better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. I know this ain't America talking here. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and taking on the form of a servant, and was found and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and have given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, you might not want to bow right now, but there's going to come a time that you're going to bow before the God. There's going to come a time that you ain't going to be able to shuck and jive and thank God don't hear you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 10, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And that's what scares me. I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account of what I've taught you. And if I've led you astray, I'm going to be beaten with many stripes. That's why I'm going to tell it like a T.I. is, whether you like it or not.
Yes, sir.
Because in the final analysis, I'm going to have to give an account for everything that have come out of my mouth.
Amen.
Amen. So you rest assured that if you ain't doing what Jesus requires of you, I'm going to tell you. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a mailman.
That's right.
I'm just dropping your bills in the box. Get mad at yourself for making the bill. Amen, Walt. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And everything in heaven, things on the earth, and things that are under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Church, amen. That's what motivates me.
Amen.
To know that the God of heaven saw fit to look down the corridor of time and allow me to be part of the kingdom of God, the church, the body of Christ. And I'm thankful.
Amen.
I'm thankful because I don't know where I'd be right now. Yeah, I do.
Talk about it.
I'd probably be just like the rest of the folk in the world.
Amen.
I'd probably be a mass murderer. Because there's a whole lot of folk I'd probably get rid of. Amen.
But I'm thankful to God that I can help you get rid of those folks with the blood of Christ and make them somebody brand new.
Yes,
see,
sir.
He took away the gun and he gave me true bullets.
Amen.
Come on, y'all. Y'all ain't with me this morning. Because, church, when you really understand what we really have, man, we have things that can change the life of mankind.
Amen.
Those of you sitting here this morning, you don't have to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
But you know what it requires? You getting out the way.
That's right.
And telling Jesus, I want you to be the Savior of my life.
Yes,
I'm willing to sacrifice everything for your cause.
Amen.
And if you're not willing to say that, you're not really ready to obey the gospel.
Uh-huh.
It's just like in a marriage. I asked a couple that's sitting in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I said, are you willing to give up your happiness for the happiness of your mate?
Mm-hmm.
And if he'd have said no, they wouldn't have been married today, not by me. Because that's exactly what it takes.
Yes.
My willingness to give up everything on this time side of life to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And when you do that, guess what? God takes care of everything else.
Yes, sir.
The psalmist said, I'm young, now I was old, and yet have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. God takes care of his people.
Amen.
Reminds me that when I was in the army, when you were in the service, remember what they said? We take care of our own. God takes care of me.
Amen.
Oh yeah, I have some muddy days. I have some lonely days. I have some days when I don't know up from down, but I know who controls every single day. And that's what motivates me, that drives me. That's why I have an attitude that when it's kingdom business, all the other business is none and void. That's right. I want to show you this morning that a believer has to have the attitude. And the attitude he has to have is nothing or no one can stop him on this time side of life. Not even himself, because he's giving himself up.
Yes.
I want to show you point number one. The attitude that the believer must have, he must have an attitude that he can be victorious.
Amen.
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 Somebody asked me, well, when you going back to school? I don't need no school. But guess what? If I had to go, I can be victorious.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I can go get me a PhD. I might be 100 years old when I get it. But guess what? I got the mindset that I can do anything. Why? Because Paul said, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. My strength don't come from me. My strength come from God. My strength, my motivation, my enthusiasm come from the God that makes heaven and earth. Therefore, when it's kingdom business, I'm ready. Why? Because he's proven to me, if I seek the kingdom first, he'll take care of everything else.
Amen.
And you know what? He has taken care of everything else.
Amen.
In my life. Those of you that are visiting this morning, I want you to know you got to have an attitude when it comes to God.
Amen.
God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. See, even death itself doesn't bother me. It used to scare me to death. Some of y'all caught it, but the rest of y'all going on back to sleep. It used to scare me, but not anymore. Because I understand it's just a Passover. It's just the start of the beginning of a new life.
Yes.
No more pain. No more sorrow. The former things will be passed away. Guess what? It'll be no more misery on that time side of life. But somewhere down the line, the believer has to act like he is victorious.
Yes.
Amen. And when you act like you're victorious, people might say you're a little arrogant. People might say you're a little stuck up. No, neither one of those. I got confidence based on the evidence.
Amen.
That when it's time to stand before Jehovah, I'm going to be bold. Lord, remember me.
Amen.
But I don't want to be like the man that said, did we not? No, I want to be the man that said, Lord, I did.
Amen.
That's right. I want to be like the prophet Isaiah. When the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6, when God looked around and saw that there was no one to send, he said, who will go for us? The prophet Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Can God say that about you this morning? When it's time to take this gospel to those that are lost, are you going? Y'all quiet. I hear the church mouse talking more than I hear y'all. Amen, Wall. Point number one, you must
show the victory that comes from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 51. Want to show you that even in death itself, I have the victory, because Jesus has already given the victory in death itself. The Bible says in verse number 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed in a moment, in the twink of the eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible." When I think about this passage of scripture, I think about one of the saints that just passed away, 96 years old. And I called her the Roadrunner. Wow. And the reason I called her the Roadrunner, because she was willing to take the message everywhere she went. Amen. 96 years old. Wow. 310, another score by reason. And she got 96. Boy.
Wow.
What am I trying to say? You do things God's way. God take care of everything else.
Amen.
The Bible goes on to say, in a moment, in the twink of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought the pass that is saying, that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I told you, even in death, I can be victorious.
Amen.
Because if I live my life for Jesus, Luke chapter 22, he gonna send dispatch the heavenly pallbearers to take me on into glory. Church, I don't know about you. That's what motivates me. That's what drives me. Because I've gotten to the point where I can look in the mirror and I know it ain't gonna be long. Mm-hmm. How long? I don't know, but it ain't gonna be long.
Amen.
You know, when you look in there and there's another wrinkle every other day. And the gray just don't seem to go away.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And the feet don't work like they should.
That's right.
And the knees buckle at times. Somebody know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Amen.
That tells me that I need to set in order my house.
Uh-huh.
That tells me that I need to prepare myself to see Jehovah.
Amen.
But see, I'm learning, just because you 15, 16 years old, you can beat me out of here.
Okay.
Amen. Right. What I'm trying to tell us is everybody needs to be prepared, because one day he's going to come.
Amen.
And when he comes, Revelation said he's coming and his reward is going to be in his hand.
Yes.
He's going to execute good and evil. And church, I don't know about you, all I want is the good that comes from God. The Bible goes on to say in verse 54, "So when corruptible has put on incorruptible, and as mortal has put on immortality, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor's not in vain in the Lord." Attitude, church. That's the attitude that if we had in 2016, we'd make the difference in the world in which we live in. But see, you can't make the difference in the world till you make the difference in your household. Amen, walls. Until you make the difference in your household, you can forget about making a difference anywhere else. And when the house is in order,
yes,
guess what? The church house will be, will be in order. That's right. Church, and I'm learning that the only way we're going to do that is we have to have the mind of Christ, a mindset. Point number two, the attitude the believer must have is an attitude that he must obey God no matter what transpires. That's the hardest thing in the world, if you don't want to do it. I'll say it again. That's the hardest thing in the world, if you don't want to do it. But if you want to do it, not a difficult task at all. Why? Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Jesus set the example. Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. See, in order for you to really have the attitude that the believer must have, the believer must be willing to surrender his will to the will of God. That's why he said, if you desire to follow me, you got to give up. You got to follow me. Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus
chapter 3, when Jesus went by the Sea of Galilee and called his disciples, he said, follow me. And if I was to tell you to follow me, you'd probably have just like them, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Stan, I don't know about following you. So don't follow me, but follow Jesus.
Amen.
And if you're going to follow Jesus, why would you follow him half the way?
Right.
Huh? Huh? Why would you follow him half the way? If I'm going to follow somebody, I'm looking for something in return. Are you not?
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm following Jesus because I'm looking for salvation.
Amen.
And I don't want to hear it from nobody else but from him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, in order for you to really follow, to have that right attitude that the believer must have, the believer must first and foremost surrender his will to God. He must be willing to do what God commands. Acts chapter 5 and round about verse number 29. When the Sanhedrin commanded the apostles not to speak in the name of Jesus, they said, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
And I'm learning, church, that when you obey God, you ain't got to worry about man. Amen.
Amen.
You ain't got to worry about tomorrow when you obey God.
Amen.
Now, don't misunderstand that. Go get a job, though. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when you obey God, you put your trust in God, God will take care of everything else.
Amen.
See, in order for you to obey God, those of you that are members of the body of Christ, you got to make sure that your calling is going to be an election, sure.
Yes.
1 Peter chapter 5, you got to add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. Peter says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. And then Peter says, wherefore the brother, make your calling and election sure. I want to encourage those of us who are members of the body of Christ, take a checkup from the neck up.
Amen.
And make sure that you're on the right track. 2 Corinthians 13 and round about verse number 5, Paul says, examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith. Prove yourself. Know you not that Christ Jesus in you, except you become disqualified. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you, make sure that you're doing what God requires of you, because in the day of judgment, you're going to receive a more harsher punishment. And I always ask myself a question, how hot can hell be? I don't want to know either. But somewhere down the line, the believer has to rise above and really understand that God expects you to have the right type of attitude in serving him. Point number 3 and the final point. See, the believer's attitude is based upon his understanding of what the Word of God requires of him. And church, in order for you to understand what God requires of you, you got to get in this book. Those of you that are not members of the body of Christ want to encourage you. Stop and think about it. You need to obey what God requires you. He requires that you hear his word. You're hearing it this morning. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But do you believe what's in the book? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. For without faith is it impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then the Bible says you must repent of your sin. Luke 13:3, 13:5. Tell your neighbor, except you repent, you perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32 and 33. Jesus says, confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. And Jesus says, I'll deny you before my Father. Then the Bible teaches that one must be buried in water for the remission of one's sin. It is in the watery grave. That is part of the obedience that God requires for everyone that believes in him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sin through his blood. Not only must you be willing to be buried in water, he adds you to the church, which is his body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 22. The attitude that the believer must have is nothing or no one can stop him in his mission.
Amen.
Amen. I'm convinced you can't stop me. You can't even slow me down.
No.
Does sickness stop me? Nope. No. Only if I let it. Mm-hmm. Can blindness stop me? Only if I let it. Mm-hmm. Because in Christ Jesus, I have the victory. So therefore, I got to have a different mindset.
Amen.
Go over with me real quickly to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to show you the mindset that the believer really must learn to develop. And when he develops this mindset, guess what? He's victorious not only for the Lord, but everything he does. Why? Because everything falls right into play. Look at what he says. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. How? In us. Boy, that's some power, church. That's something to shout about, to know that the God of heaven has trusted you and I,
yes, sir,
with his power to change lives around us.
Yes.
That's why the dope addict looks for us. That's why the prostitute looks for us. Why? Because we have words that can change their lives.
Yes, sir.
If they would only just obey.
Yes.
Church, that's why we must never ever take lightly what God has blessed us with.
Amen.
He has blessed us with the keys to the kingdom.
Amen.
Man.
Wow.
I guess most of y'all got a key to the door, right?
Amen.
Very seldom use it, do you? But God has given you the keys to the kingdom.
Amen.
How often do you use the keys to the kingdom in seeking and saving the lost? How often do you use the keys to try to encourage a brother or sister in time of need?
Mm-hmm.
How often do you, he's given us the keys.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we use them? Drop down to around about verse number 28 in that same text. The Bible says, and we know that all things work to, that all things work to, together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did pre-knew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us. That's some powerful stuff.
Amen.
Who can be against us? He who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay a charge to God's elect? Is it not God to justify? Who is he that can condemn? Is it not Christ that died, yea, rather has risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, swords? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long.
Mm-hmm.
We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 37 says, nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors. Told you. The believer has to have an attitude that nothing can stop him in his mission. I better say that again, because we think nothing will stop us when we do it. Our thing. No, the mission, and that mission is seeking and saving the lost. And so that individual, members of the body of Christ, we must believe that in our process of doing the will of the Father, nothing or no one can hinder us but ourselves. But when you're out of the way, guess what? You can be victorious for the Lord. Hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart. Church, there's an attitude that we have to have. And the attitude is that nothing can hinder me on this time side of life from spreading God's message.
Amen.
Nothing can stop me, not even myself, because I've made up my mind that I'm going to give myself away and I'm going to let him work through me.
Amen.
That's why Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God that worketh in you. See, God goes to work in us when we start doing his will. Members of the body of Christ, if you've fallen short, we're 4 months into the new year. I don't know, is it because I'm getting older? No? That it seemed like time just went. Huh? Is that what it is? Then that ought to tell me it's time for me to stay busy. I want to encourage you as members of the body of Christ. God's going to hold us accountable for all the souls that are lost. All the ones we come in contact with. So I want to encourage you. I want to motivate you. I want you to be stimulated. Let's get out here and make the difference in somebody's life. Those of you that are visiting and may not be part of the body of Christ, I want you to know you've heard God's message this morning. I want you to know that you're not here by accident. Yeah, there's no accident.
That's right.
You might think it's an accident that you came. No, this is all part of God's providence.
Amen.
Somebody somewhere down the line saw that you needed to be here.
Amen.
And it's my job, my responsibility, to tell you that you need to be saved.
Amen.
Don't leave here without asking some questions. What must I do that I might be saved?
Amen.
Because Jesus says, the day you hear my voice,
yes,
harden not your heart. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.